Cain and Abel. Satan succeeded. And the whole world had to be wiped off. The whole world has to be wiped off. You know, whenever I read that portion, I see God so angry. He was so angry until he said, I will destroy everything. Everything, even including animals, even everyone. What do animals do you now, God? Now anger. His anger. So they, anything I've created, that's to tell you that God was so angry. And then wipe everything away. Let me start afresh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But yet, God allowed it. Because he had an agenda also. What Satan did is called the mystery of iniquity. By that, every human being that is born on earth has a trace of animal nature in you. That is what we call carnality. It is that animal nature that is in us that necessitated Christ coming down to do a work. Which work? The work of removing the animal nature in us. The process of removing the animal nature so that we will now be the true image of and likeness of God that he proposed us to be. That is the process called being born again. That is the process of being born again. You are not born again until God deals with that animal nature. And it starts from the heart. You hear the word of God. Because it was something we had that produced what we are today. The sermon of serpents. You hear something also from God. It pricks your heart. You get convinced of what you have heard of the estate of man as I am talking now. For this is the message of the cross. This is the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. This is the gospel I'm preaching now. You will hear it. You'll be convinced that, yes, man should not be in this estate. I should not be like this. Why? Romans chapter 7. Apostle Paul says, when I want to do good, I find evil present. When I want to do something, I want to move my life, there is something that draws me back. In me, something good is there, but there is another element that is pushing me back, worrying. I want to do good, but evil will be found there. Where did that come from? It is from that mystery of iniquity, the crossbreeding. Adam was a perfect being. Adam could not give birth to children with such nature. Satan arranged that and crossed it. And that nature starts with you hearing. You have to hear the voice of the Spirit, the voice of Christ. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this, hallelujah, then you are convinced, then you are convicted. You now know that it's true. If I die at the estate I'm in now, I am going to hell fire. Therefore, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is why you begin to seek for salvation. That's why I say, I don't believe in the altar call. People come and then they say, say after me. Say after me what? For today, I'm not thief again. Father, I'm not fornicate again. Father, from today, it's not something you speak with your mouth. is something from the heart. It's a decision. And that decision will not come by say after me. That decision will come from a conviction. It's a godly sorrow that worketh what? Repentance. Unless your conscience is dealt with. In Ezekiel 36, he said, he will bring you out of the world, wash you with clean water, the water of the world. Then he will take away the stony heart and put a heart of flesh. A stony heart is the heart that Cain had. No matter what you say, no matter what you say, even God stand there. But let that same heart be changed to a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gives you a new heart. Then he said, he will now give you a new spirit. Because the spirit there has to do with tests. The things that attract you. He changes your tests. When he's able to change your spirit, it is when your spirit is changed that he's able to relate with you. Because we are first and foremost spirit beings. The spirit of God has to contact your spirit. Then my spirit beareth witness with the spirit of God that I am a son of God. How? The Bible says he will take, put a new spirit in you. Then he will come and put his own spirit now in you and cause you to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the process of changing that animal nature in us. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old nature, all things are passed away. Brother, sister, have you undergone that process? Can you look at your life now and say, I was once like this. I am now like this. Not you living a moral life. Not morality. But you can give a testimony that it's a work that God has done. And that necessitated another creation. And so God had to bring another Adam for a new creation. He created Adam with what? With earth. Oh, glory be to God. He created Adam with what? With earth. The last Adam too has to be created with earth. What did the Bible call human beings? It said, dust you are, and dust you will return to. So when he was creating that seed through that virgin birth in the womb of Mary, he was using earth to create a life, an Adam, that he will now breathe into him. And then he will become another Adam. Hallelujah. This time to give birth to spiritual children of God. Hallelujah. He needs a wife. He needs a bride. He needs a church. Therefore, there will be a helpmeet. There will be a helper to him to produce more children. What did he do? Adam was slain, put to sleep, and his wife was removed from his side. He took this last Adam to the cross on Calvary. John chapter 19, they pierced his side, and the process of a new birth took place. Before a child comes out of the womb of a woman that is pregnant, when it is time for delivery, what is the first thing that comes out? Water. After that, what? Blood. After that, what? Moses Alu came forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was a new birth that was taking place on the cross of Calvary. And he shouted, it is finished. So that you will understand these terminologies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 45. He called him Christ, the last Adam. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he said Christ is the image of the invisible God. The image that God intended Adam to be. Oh, glory be to God. He lost it. So, another image of the invisible God, Christ, is formed. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Amen. He called him, he said, is the first begotten of the dead. But we are all dead. The resurrection from the dead to harvest his own. The first. That is the reason he had to die. That's another mystery. I preached that another time. He's the first begotten of the dead. That's why he is our elder brother. Hallelujah. Revelation 3 verse 14. It says, Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3, 14. That same Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He also added there that is the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. Romans 8, 29. Is the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. Well, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? From the destruction that is coming upon this world. Baptism there, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, except is a man is born of water and of spirit, water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you cannot enter. Because that affects the process of conversion. That is why you must be born again. And he did it by a mystery. The law of redemption. The law of redemption says that you have to be free to redeem your brother, your relation that is in bondage. And all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No man was qualified to receive the book of redemption, the sealed book in Revelation chapter 5. No man was qualified. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 5. Let's read from verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who on earth, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Because it is the book of redemption. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, even to look thereon. None was qualified. And I, John, I wept much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders, one of those 24 elders that we see in Revelation chapter 4, said unto me, weep not. The lion of the tribe, behold, he said, behold, 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 it means look. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus himself. He's the only one that was qualified. What qualified him? It was because he was free from the curse that was on man. How? That is why he came by the virgin birth. He broke protocol. Hey! He bypassed the same way you were born. We were born by the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. We live our life eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, we are contaminated in our brain, in our mind, in our heart, in our actions, and everything. Everything about life is contaminated. Anyone that comes through that process, that same nature passes to that person. Therefore, no man was qualified to redeem man, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, and man fell, because the law of redemption says you must also be related to the person in bondage by blood. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 15, 16, 17 becomes clear now. Hebrews chapter 2, for as much then as the children, this is God himself now, his children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, God himself also, likewise, took part of the same flesh and blood. Hey, in the womb of Mary. Why did he do that? That through death, that's why he's the first begotten from the dead. Through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. For which reason? So deliver and deliver them who through fear and death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now see the interesting part. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him, he had a lineage, the seed of Abraham. That's why he is the lion of a tribe. Because that is the tribe he came out through. Wherefore in all things, it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren. See the mystery of godliness? It's a mystery. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See the good news in verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted like all of us, that is why he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus knows. He knows all about our struggles. He will not till the day is over. So who was Jesus? Jesus was God in the flesh. Who was Jesus? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, verse 6. Who is Jesus? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Wherefore, when he, God of creation, cometh into the world, he told them, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but what? A body hast thou prepared me. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the body that God of creation created for himself, so that he will come and contact man, come in the form of a human being to go and look for his own. And he came down. That is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said what? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. When was he justified in the spirit? When at River Jordan, a voice came, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. At the Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He was justified in the spirit. Can we read on? Hallelujah. He was seen of angels. Hallelujah. Angels saw him. I preach unto the Gentiles. Are we not preaching now? He was believed on in the world. Are we not believing him? And received up to glory. He said, it is God that came and did this and went. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. And his name shall be called what? Emmanuel. Be what? God with us. Who was Jesus? Jesus is God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is referred to as the Alpha and Omega. He is referred to the beginning and the end. He is referred to as Hallelujah, the God Almighty. He is known. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Upon this rock of the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Who is Jesus? He's the Almighty God himself. Step down from eternity to time. Came in the form of a human being. Hallelujah. And walked on the shores of Galilee. And they beheld him as the glory of the only begotten Son. That's all you knew him as, the Son of God. But progressive revelation lets us know he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That songwriter says, and who do you say I am? And when do you say I am? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? In Jesus dwells the fullness of the God has come to see. Oh, Jesus is the way. Jews were looking at him. We are sons of Abraham. We are this. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, you are not even up to. And he rejoiced. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And rejoice. He said, look at this man. You are not even up to 50. You are talking of our father Abraham that he saw you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where did Abraham see him? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. Hallelujah. In book of Genesis, Abraham went to deliver Lot. He went to deliver Lot, his cousin, that was captured. On his way coming back, he met a man. Hallelujah. What is the name of that man? Melchizedek. Abraham, prophet Abraham, prophet Abraham. His eyes were opened and he saw him as a priest. He came and bowed before him and offered him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Worship him. And he gave him tithes. And that man that he saw, what did he give him? Oh, Bible students, what did he give him? Eh? What did he give him? Oh, say, what did he give him? Bread and wine. Am I talking to Bible students at all? Okay, maybe you don't know what we are talking about. Why did he give him bread and wine? Matthew 26, the Last Supper. He broke bread and gave them and blessed the cup. He said, this is my body that is offered for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. He blessed the cup, the wine, and gave him. What was he talking about? Abraham met somebody on the way. And he didn't know. And then he was speaking. Abraham, you are an ordinary human being. This is what I will use to save you. He offered him bread and wine. Speaking of what will happen in future to come. And and see who did he meet. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. He says, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek that Abraham met, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, that is all his, that Abraham knew him, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all tithes. First, being by interpretation what? King of righteousness. And after that also what? King of Salem, which is King of peace. Hallelujah. This is who Abraham met. He met a man without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of death. He has no birth dates. And he cannot die, nor end of life. But men like unto the Son of God abided the priest continually. Who did Abraham meet? He met the Almighty God. He met God in the flesh. That same God is standing before the Jews. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Hallelujah. And when they said, you are not even 50 years yet, you are saying, Abraham rejoiced to see. He told them, before Abraham was, he didn't say I was, I am. Oh, before Abraham was, I am. Moses asked him, who will I say sent me? What did he say? I am that I am. And who do you say I am? And when do you say I am? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? In Jesus Christ. Of that hymn. Show me the first stanza. The first stanza, so that you understand what I'm talking about.
I am that stone of Moses in the burning bush of fire. I am the God of Abraham, the bright and morning star. I am the rose of Sharon, from beginning whence I came. I am the whole creation, and Jesus is my name. And who do you say I am? Oh, and when do you say I am? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? In Jesus, the Lord, who has come and brought us to him.
Oh,
Jesus is the bread.
Stand up.
I am the of Abraham. He rejoiced to see my day. When Jesus spoke this precious word, they stoned him right away. Why do you stone me? Jesus said, in a holy sweet command. Because you say you are the great I am, we believe you are just a man.
Hey,
but who do you say?
Thank you. Rock, I build my church. His blood touched the earth that day, and there was earthquake. That was the day the curse that was the ground that was cursed for Adam's sake was sanctified. Hey, that curse was broken at the cross.
At the cross, at the cross, at the cross,
we are.
Touches you to break that curse, to lose you. When that same anointing falls on you, something must happen in your life. Everything about you will shake. The foundation, every wrong foundation will shake and give way. It happened at the cross of Calvary. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross.
He was born in the light of day.
People go to church so that they will learn how to make money and prosper. They don't go to church so that they will have salvation. That's why they don't even know how Jesus looks like. Because when you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, there are two areas of him hanging there you will look at. Many of us look at only his hands, offering blessings, prosperity, deliverance. But that will never make you fall in love with him. But when you look at his face, you will see the agony there. You will see him crying until he shouted, "Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me?" You see the torture he went through there. That is the only time you can appreciate what he did on the cross of Calvary. Until now, confession comes from the cross. He said, he gave up the ghost. When he shouted, "It is finished," he gave up the ghost. That ghost is the Holy Ghost. He flew from the cross. When I submit the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory, I reach again, I climb up on the cross and walk on the cross all my life. During the vigil, Brother Cosmos Maduka in my office spoke to some of the gifted sisters and the brothers there. All those sisters that prophesied on Friday night. And he said so many things. And he told them, he said, "This gift you have received, take note that you did not pray before you received it." He said, "Therefore, it is lack of prayer will not take it away from you." He said, "Nothing can take that gift away from you." He said, "But this same gift is the same thing that will destroy you if you don't take that." He said, "Do you know that wealth is a gift?" He said, he's a billionaire. Yes, no doubt. But he knows it's a gift. He said, "Do you know the power of money? When you know with money you can do and undo, it's not a gift. But that same money, the love of money, is the root of all evil." He said he recognizes. He said, "Do you know I have a pastor and I receive instructions from him?" He said, "I subject myself to him because he's my shepherd. God placed me under him. So I must be obedient to him. I must listen to him." He was telling you, Anya, you were there. Amarachi, you were there. Angulika, you were there. Who else? You were all there last night. He said, "Do we know the temptations he goes through with that gift of wealth? What does he do therefore? He lives a life guided by the word." He said, when he wants to do something, even his wife tries to speak against what he wants to do. If he can trace what he's doing to the Bible, he'll say, "Honey, it's not me you are quarreling with. You are quarreling with God because this is what I am obeying. It's not me that created it. If you have problem with what I am doing, you are having problem with God, not me. And it will not stop me from loving you because you are not having problem with me. It is God you are having problem with. I will love you all the same. But I will be a good soldier. I will die my war. It pays to serve
Jesus. I see from my head. He's
about spirituality, walk with spiritual people. He said, you could just say, he said, in his own language, in his own words, those of you who are in my office, he said, Maybe because I pay 100 million naira tithes. Therefore, I will say, why? Is it because I'm here? That's why you're talking to me like that. He said that tendency will be there. So he has to watch it. The humility is a virtue from God. Pride, God hates it. What do you have that you did not receive? Hallelujah. But before you can achieve this, you must stay close to the cross. That's why I want everybody to stand up and sing, Jesus, keep me there. Godliness all began at Eden. That is what happened at Eden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what happened at Eden. And the final solution will be when all Christ has finished everything, then he returns to what he has always been. Amen. Amen. The Almighty. Sit down first. Shalom, Brother Moses. Please, who are those in Revelation chapter 7? The answer is in that same Revelation chapter 7. In this regard, are they the church or the bride? Having experienced the great tribulation and having washed their robes, then is it right to say they are not the bride, but the church? Brother Victor from Port Harcourt. There's nothing like the church. There's nothing like that. The church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Jesus Christ. The meaning of church is called out once. So they are the bride of Jesus Christ. You are seeing there, part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Another question from Port Harcourt again. If the answer to Revelation chapter 7 verse 14 at the church, therefore the Gentiles will have two means whereby they will be saved. Firstly, by rapture means, and secondly, by the great tribulation means. Please throw more light on the above question. Brother Victor, I have thrown more than light in it, in all my teachings on that. If you don't go in the rapture, no place again for you as a Gentile. So, I hope you understand now that they are the bride of Jesus Christ of all the ages. They are the ones you see in Revelation chapter 7. They are the same people you see in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 7, the description of their garment is white robe. Just white. But when it comes to Revelation chapter 19, it said the bride has made herself ready. The garment is not just white robe, but it is now defined as fine linen. And linen is a material for royalty. It is the state of the bride ready to come to earth with the king. She now crowned. in heaven and ready to come to rule the earth. The bride coming as the queen to rule with her husband, the Lord of Lords on earth, is seen in Revelation chapter 19. That is the reward we receive that changed the quality of the robe we put on. I believe that. Is that all? Thank you very much. And the summary of it all is just like God came in the flesh, Satan will also come in the flesh. We have Christ and we have the Antichrist. We'll also be in the flesh. Who is Christ? Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is Antichrist? The fullness of Satan bodily. He shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. When did he bruise the heel of the seed of the woman? At the cross. And that is what he's doing to today. The heel there, talking about the progress of the ministry. You saw how he killed several millions of believers and still killing them now. That same old prophecy being fulfilled. And where will his head be bruised? By the seed of the woman. Finally, when he will come, after he has put him for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, he will rise again. After 1,000 years, carry him and put him in the lake of fire. And that is the end of Satan unto eternity. Then, the final scripture I read now is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 23. Concerning the resurrection. But every man in his own order. This is the order of resurrection. First Christ, the first fruit. After that, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming, resurrection. Then come at the end of the matter that started from the Garden of Eden. When he shall have delivered out of the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for now all power is given to him. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death at the resurrection. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is clear, it is manifest that the one that puts the things under him is not among the things that are under him. It is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then in future shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Do you know why? Because there is a new creation. Hallelujah. Now, among the identity of Jesus Christ, In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This will be his identity. His name shall be called Wonderful. When was that fulfilled? When he was performing miracles, signs and wonders in the shores of Galilee. Counselor, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He will be called also the Mighty God, because he and the Father are one. Now, he shall be called the Everlasting Father, and then the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, because when he will be on earth here, he will rule, there will be peace all over the earth. But there is the other one, the Everlasting Father. When will he take up that title? He will take up that title Hallelujah. He will take up that title after all the process of salvation is done. If Adam were alive now, what will we be calling him? Eh? He's our father now. He's not our father. But he lost that position. All his children died. And another Adam was made. So, that's why we are born again by the Spirit of Christ. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Therefore, that is why he's called the last Adam. Because we are born again by him. He gave birth to us. He will now remain our everlasting Father in the second creation. And then the process is over. We don't know what next God will do. But we shall not dwell eternally like the angels are dwelling with him. If you are among those that will be in that eternal age, clap your hands now. Clap your hands. I hope I've not confused anybody.